Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Peter writes, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Man begins his journey in this world in a garden. And if the weather stays like this, many of us would like to maybe just stay in the garden. Maybe that's where we find our little piece of paradise this time of year and into the summer. Our first parents were established in what the scriptures tell us is the Garden of Eden, surrounded by all that was made by the Word of God, and it was certainly good. Indeed, it was paradise. In the narrative about our Creator and the created, the Word of the Lord distinguishes, speaks specifically about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are told that both trees were in the middle of the garden, perhaps even side by side. There at the foot of one tree, Adam and Eve worship as they show their love for God by being obedient to his command to not eat from it, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There at the foot of the other tree, they receive the gift of life immortal, life everlasting. So there are two important trees as man, male and female, seeks to live and to walk in the presence of God and their Lord and be in everlasting communion with him, to be in his presence forever. But then paradise is lost. There is doubt, and then doubt leads to disobedience, and therefore there is sin. Our first parents eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in an attempt to be like God. That was the temptation. And the doubt gave way to sin. They give in to the whispers of the evil one as the ancient serpent entices them. "You will not surely die," whispers Satan. "You will be like God." And they listen. And the fruit looks good, and they eat, and it becomes apparent to them that their eating represents their disobedience to God's will. And so then the worm of sin burrows into their hearts and is passed to your heart and my heart. In truth, all of creation becomes infected with the parasite of sin, and this sin separates us from God. We are exiled from God, separated by this dividing wall of hostility, because God cannot stand sin before his face. And so he cannot stand sinful man before his face. We are cast out from paradise, the beautiful garden. We are removed from the presence of the other tree, the tree of life. The cherubim and the flaming sword guard the path back to this tree, lest man eat from it and live forever. Man has been cast out of the garden, but also exiled from life itself. God knows that if man eats of this tree of life as a sinner, that the life bestowed by its fruit will be a fate worse than death. Because to live forever as sin continues to ravage you, both body and soul, is a curse too terrible to behold. Sin must first be dealt with. It must be atoned for, washed away, before everlasting life is a blessing and a joy. But how does one first deal with sin? The fact that man is a sinner forbids him from being part of the solution. So you can't do anything about your sin. It try as you will not to sin, and it won't be long before you're thinking things, saying things, doing things that you know are contrary to God's will and maybe not doing things that you also know are part of God's will, those sins of omission, we are unable to be holy as the Lord our God is holy and in whose image we were created. So stripped of that image by sin, we must then be recreated, rebirthed, if you will, born again, or better said, born from above, because sin-filled man is the problem and he is unable to do anything that will solve this problem. Mankind is stumbling blindly and bumbling helplessly through this journey of life, exiled from its Father. Man cannot, even by accident, address the problem of sin. And so, life, eternal life, eludes us. A restored relationship with God is an impossibility. A return to what God intended for man from the beginning is beyond our reach. There is no merit or worthiness in us to overcome our exile because of our sin. While this is impossible for man, beyond our reach, it is not impossible for God, who through his word and spirit can reach into our lives and grant us his gifts. That's how he chooses to deal with us. For just as man was overcome by a tree, so also must the Son of Man by a tree then overcome. The issue, the problem, the devastating disaster of sin requires another tree. And as we heard this past Sunday, and as we heard in part this evening in the gospel reading, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, God's Son, comes into our flesh and blood that he might crush the ancient serpent and pay the price that is demanded by our sinfulness and by the sin that makes us sinful human beings. Christ Jesus comes into our flesh because of the kind of price that is demanded. Blood. Only blood can pay the price, and only blood can wash away sin. Only the blood of the Lamb who has no blemish or spot, who is a perfect sacrifice, a holy and precious offering that we heard Peter speaking of in our epistle reading. Only the blood of the Lamb is required, and a tree. The Son of Man must be lifted up upon a tree just as the bronze serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness. Jesus had said as much to Nicodemus. And even earlier, he said to his disciples when he said, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." That's recorded by St. John, and he records this commentary on this account by adding, "He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die." The tree of the cross, an instrument of torture, suffering, and death, is the tree upon which Jesus is lifted up. And if the Jews had had their way with Jesus, there wouldn't have been a tree. If they had been able, they would have stoned Jesus to death. But you see, the Romans were in charge, and a tree, crucifixion, was the way they punished those outside of Rome. On the cross, Jesus suffers and dies. On the cross, his holy and precious blood is shed. On the cross, Jesus lays down his life that our lives, your life and my life, might be restored. A perfect sacrifice brings salvation and restoration to the crown of God's creation. By his grace, his salvation then becomes yours and mine. Thus, Jesus turns an instrument of death into a tree of life. And his death brings us life, life eternal. Our exile from the presence of God has been ended. Our exile from the tree of life is over. Christ Jesus has taken the sins of the world to the tree and been lifted up for all to see. And from there, he draws all men, male and female, to himself. The cross reunites us with our God as the gifts of forgiveness, life and salvation are poured out upon us. They're bestowed to us. No longer do we wander aimlessly, blindly in search of a solution for our sin. Now we gather at the foot of the cross. We gather at the new tree of life and gaze upon the one who became sin for us so that we might be saved, so that we might know sins forgiven and everlasting life, so that we might have a righteousness not of our own doing, but that is God's gift for us as it was intended to be for us from the beginning. We gather at the font to receive the gift of new life in Christ, buried with him in his death and raised with him in his resurrection. We kneel before his altar to receive his life-giving, faith-creating, and faith-strengthening body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Tree to tree, the tree of life to the tree of the cross, another life-giving tree, a journey from life to death and back to life. We've been restored to life and reunited with our God. Now, each day, as we continue our journey through this life as children of God, we focus our attention upon what the Apostle John describes in the book of Revelation. That angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is the life that has been restored to us. Daily we arise and remember that we're baptized children of God, that we've been planted to be trees in God's kingdom, to bear fruit as his disciples, to look ahead to the day when we will live in the courts of heaven, life in the presence of the Lamb, life that is ours right now in Christ Jesus. A return from exile, a return to our God by way of a tree. In the name of Jesus, amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.